Nebiel, episode 39. You right?
Yes, you are correct.
39, tickle my spine. I've been taking improv classes, can you tell?
I can really tell. Oh, have you actually been taking improv
classes? No, fuck no.
Oh, God. I would have loved that.
Yeah, I would have, but no, sorry. You could have tested me. You could have said, you're in a lift. I open the door and then say yes and.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'll just keep saying yes and. Yes and.
Yes and potato. Yes, potato and this is a jar and it's got little people in. Yes,
yes and
they haven't been on holiday in a while.
Pubes made of fire.
Yes, and your mama doesn't really love you.
Yes, and France doesn't exist.
Oh, we're fucking sick at improv.
We're the best. That's all it is, isn't it?
It is, basically. I mean, Tina Fey didn't really need to write a book, a whole chapter about it in her autobiography, did she?
Every chapter starts with yes, and...
Yes, and then I got onto SNL. Yes, and Mean Girls has become a cult success. Yes, and... how are you, mate?
I am fine, thank you.
You've been a very busy boy since we last recorded?
I actually have. Do you want me to talk about my busy lifestyle?
Yeah, let's do it, yeah.
Because I don't think we did one after Best of All, did we?
No, we didn't. That's why we've not recorded in a while, because you've been gallivanting up and down the nation, spreading the word. You're like the people that Jehovah's Witness. You knock on people's doors. Hello, have you heard of Nebiel?
Yes.
For just then... 45 minutes a week, Ben and Lee will be funny, or try to be. You will learn about daytime TV culture.
Pretty much.
And it's free.
That's the main part. It is free.
I see what you can say. I've listened to other podcasts where when jokes don't land, they just go, it's free, isn't it?
Well, it is.
Anyway, so you went to Best of All. Who did you see there?
I saw a lot of people. I
knew you were
going to
say that.
A bit.
Did you see that Diplo and Mark Ronson Silk, whatever it is? Silk
no,
City,
I didn't watch
it?
That.
No, I didn't think you would.
What did I watch instead of that? That was the... Oh, so... oh, no, that was... I watched that instead of... Who was the other... I can't remember who the headliners were now. That Mr. Silk and... is it Mr. Silk? No, Silk City. Mr. Silk. Silk City. Mr. Yeah. Silk sounds like a pervert from the end of the street.
Hello, I'm Mr. Silk. Would you like me to buy you some drinks? I can buy you some ice cream.
Yes, and... anyway.
Oh, mate, you've been fire with the callbacks on the recent pods.
Thank you, thank you. Can you call it a callback if it's just 2 minutes?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's still calling back to, like, months ago, podcast-wise.
Yeah, fair play, fair play. I'm still trying to think. Who were the MIA, Silk City, and...
All She Wants to Do is...
And a... Oh, London Grammar was the other headliners. But I only saw MIA out of all of those, I'm afraid.
Was she missing an action?
No, it's the airport code for Miami, mate. Didn't you know that?
What, the Will Smith song?
Yeah.
Did they make an airport after they named it after his song?
Yeah, didn't you know?
No, I mean, I knew it was a big hit, but does that mean he's got other airports? Is there a Fresh Prince airport?
Yeah, and there's a Summertime airport. Men in Black, there's an airport called the...
Is there a Millennium airport?
Yeah. There's got to be at least one more Will Smith song, isn't there?
I can't think of any more.
Bel Air Airport. anyway, moving on.
Airport. Yes.
When was the last? When was the last Will Smith hit? I was just trying to. Oh, he was in Suicide Squad, wasn't he? And that then
was
that
a,
Netflix
that was a bit
thing.
Of a flop.
Yeah, I guess, but it was still high profile.
That Netflix film was a massive flop.
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
I guess his last success, Hancock, maybe?
Did I Am Legend come out before Hancock?
I think so, yeah.
Might be then. Bloody hell.
I Am Legend's probably my favourite Will Smith film.
Possibly. I do really love Men in Black.
Well, you're going to love them making a new one with Chris Hemsworth.
Yeah, I know. And there's still the rumours about the crossover with...
21 Jump Street.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry, who else did you see at the festival?
I saw Jimmy Cliff.
Yeah.
Which was sick.
What you threw up?
No. Oh, yeah. I thought you'd go. Oh, that's cool, or something.
Oh, that's cool. Is that good?
He was really. He's like in his 70s, and he's still there. Go, Kuna Matata. And what else does he say? I can see clearly now. The rain. What's it? You can do it if you really want. He's got all the bangers, mate.
Banger, hit after hit.
It was hit after hit. Saw him instead of London Grammar. Very good decision.
Hey, no.
Saw Grace Jones.
Oh, I like a bit of Grace Jones.
Yeah, well, she only did about four of her songs and the rest were covers.
Oh, really? That's interesting. Yeah. Was she on good form? Was she sassy?
Oh, yeah, mate, very. And between every song, she had a costume change.
Love it.
It's exactly what you want. She had a black, muscly guy. I don't know why I said black. Sorry, there's no need for that, was there? pole dancing on stage. And she whipped him with a massive dildo.
Oh. How did you feel about that?
Aroused.
Nice.
When I turned away... to leave, stood what would have been like three rows behind me was David Schneider.
Really? That's a... Wouldn't put him down as a Grace Jones fan.
It was very glittered up as well.
Oh, really?
It was good. It was a good person to see. Anyway, who else did I see? I saw a lot of my favourites. I saw Idols, who are my favourite band at the minute. Beans on Toast, one of my... standard go-to. Saw Songhai Blues, which were very, very good. Who else did we see? Saw this blues act I wanted to see for ages called Son of Dave, and it's just a bloke with a load of loop pedals and a harmonica, and he just like blues songs, and he had some good bants.
That sounds cool.
Who else did I see that was really good? Yeah, we saw M.I.A., who was a bit disappointed. She was decent, but a bit disappointing.
I've heard that about people that have seen her live.
Yeah. Who else? I'm trying to remember now. It was quite a while. So, well, we spent a lot of time in... Because I've realised the older I've got, just if the festival has got a gypsy area, just go to it. Because it's always the best place. And
just,
sort of loads
just
of cool bands...
bands out.
Yeah, I saw loads of cool bands there, and the whole time everyone was just going mad, and it was very, very good. Saw a band I've liked for a few years now called Tankers the Henge, who are just sick live. Saw them in there. All sorts, mate. I saw a band called Shame that have been quite big this year. I forgot what they're called though, so this anecdote might be a bit irrelevant if I can't think of the name. We just went to this tent, thought, oh, we'll try it, see what's going on there. It was like the second stage tents, and it was like about 2 o'clock. And this band started, so Phil Taggart was hosting like one day of the stage,
wasn't it?
Yeah. And it was the first band on Slacker, and he came on and announced this Australian band. He said, you're going to be blown away, they're amazing. And we,
yeah.
So it was just like, okay, And then there was a synth set up and a drum kit. And then these two blokes came on stage who were just in boxers. But on the head, they had, you know, sort of the thing that bee catchers, do you call them catchers? The people who have bees.
Beekeepers,
that's the one.
They don't catch bees. With a K.
Yeah, beekeepers. Yeah.
Catchers isn't with a K either.
Oh, yeah. Yes, and. but they had sort of that headdress they have on, but it was all black and you couldn't see into it. And they were just playing like really intense music. And it was sick, to be fair. And I was just like, oh, yeah. And then finished, everyone was clapping, cheering, very good. Then the next song, as they were started, this man and woman walked on stage, sort of dressed in school uniforms with big eye makeup on.
Mm.
And after that, the whole thing was carnage. They had massive choreographed dancers, but it was like, the only way I can describe it was they was acting out sort of like 80s synth pop videos. And the songs were rubbish, but the fact is that they were acting them out live and they were amazing. And honestly, one of the best, like at one point she shot him. They were just mental, mate. I can't really describe it. Absolute madness. That's all I can describe it as.
It does sound it.
and
then after Best of All, you went off to Edinburgh, didn't you?
Yes, for possibly the best week of my life so far. And if I don't go every year now, I'll be very upset, even for just a couple of days.
That sounds good. Who did you see? Well, you got ratings, don't you?
Yeah. I think we'll go into that feature later, but we're in for a roller coaster of a ride, my friend.
Exciting. Shall we start the podcast then and then do a couple of cool features?
Yes, that sounds absolutely fandabadozy.
Fandabadozy? Not heard that in a while.
Yeah, well, the Crankies haven't been on telly for years, have they?
Well, you know that why that is.
Let's not get into that now.
She grew by a foot, and the joke doesn't work when she's a normal height.
Well, she could be a teenager.
It doesn't quite. It's not as funny, is it?
Well, it could be. Adopt, adapt, and improve, mate.
Anyway, it's Nebbio episode 39. I can't think of a rhyme. Drink some wine.
Right,
deep tune.
Let's go.
That's bad. Have you got something to come out with?
I thought we'd just use that. I thought that was funny enough. I was waiting for you to give a big pause in the whistling and I'd say it, but you didn't.
Yeah, we'll
go on, do
that.
Do that. Do it again.
I'll use that. I'll edit.
Right. Okay.
I didn't even realise. I was like, I don't even know why I've got the song in my head. That's tickled me. Lee, I've got something I need your help with.
Okay, mate.
Something very weird happened the other day, and I need you to dissect what happened and help me out.
Okie dokie.
I woke up the other night, about 3 a.m, maybe 4, I can't remember, but I was crying, and I realised that I'd been crying in my sleep over the thought of Harold from Neighbours dying.
Oh.
That's quite weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
What does
that
it mean?
That upset me a bit.
Big fan of Had Honest from Neighbours. But what does it
I
mean?
I don't even watch Neighbours and I know how upsetting that'll be.
He's Harold. I mean, he's a national... Yeah, even people that don't watch it, he's a national institution, isn't he?
It's the equivalent of Alf from Home and Away.
Oh, yeah, Alf. I think Harold is bigger, though. Literally and figuratively.
No, I'd say... But then again, I never watched Neighbours. I only watched Home and Away.
You and me together.
Anyway, sorry. So what do you want me to help with?
I need you to dissect what that means and what can I do to solve this?
You need to let go, and the only way I can see that happening is by going to Australia and killing Harold.
And what?
Howard. What's his name? I forgot his name.
Harold.
Yeah. That's what I said, yeah.
Sorry, I didn't hear it cut out. So what, I need to go to Australia and make sure he doesn't die?
No, kill him.
Kill him? But that would make it worse.
No, because then you're letting go of the notion, aren't you? The feeling. It's happened to you in real life.
Oh, I don't know.
I do know. Do it. Just do it. Do it.
But he's Jelly Belly. I mean, he walks around and plays the tuba and he's in the...
In his sleep. Put a pillow.
If you were to kill someone, is that how you do it? Smother them?
I think so. No, probably pillow over the head, but don't push down, and then just fucking stab the shit out of the pillow.
But then you're stabbing their face. That's quite gross.
It is, but they'll be dead very soon. I think with a... with a pillar, there's a chance they'll fight back and maybe even overpower you.
Yeah. I reckon I'd take them on a walk along up a hill on a cliffside and then push them off.
Yeah. That's fair enough, but what if they move and you go over?
Then I'll be dead, I wouldn't care.
Oh, fair play.
I thought of it all, really.
Yeah, who would you do that to?
Probably Lauren. I saw Lauren last week and she said she'd start listening to the podcast again, so hello.
Oh, hello, Lauren. How is she?
She's well.
Don't give me too much information, will you?
I don't want to. I feel it's up to her if she wants to share. Although I can give you this information.
Okay.
And this did make me laugh a lot and she was a bit annoyed that I laughed a lot at it. After working very hard, she decided she needed a break, as we all do. It's important you take breaks.
Yeah.
So she decided to spend her hard-earned money getting on the train to Skegness and staying at Butlins for several days. the reason she went to Butlins, this it gets worse, the reason she went to Butlins is to see Stephen Mulhern.
That's brilliant!
100% real as well. She did that. Imagine working for like a year really hard and then using your money, your hard-earned money, to go see Stephen Mulhern at Buttons.
In Skegness as well.
Oh, I know. It's just... And then her review, I said, well, was it worth it? Was he good? And she went, well, you just got to do it, haven't you? And I was like, no, you don't know. And then she said... it was very mainstream humour. I was like, no shit, Sherlock. It was hardly going to be some cult comedian, was it? Doing really underground, edgy comedy.
More of cult comedians later. Well, that's interesting. Like, really of all the places... Like, you could just go to a festival and see an array of good people.
Well, I said you could go to Europe for the weekend with the amount of money she spent.
Yeah, you could even go to London to a show or something for about that. Honestly, or even just to go and watch a stand-up or someone who you actually like.
Well, it's several hundred pounds. So you could do so much with that money.
Yeah, for several hundred pounds, you could get a room in the outskirts of London and get a ticket for two nights in a row to see fucking Michael McIntyre or something like that.
Yeah, precisely. Or you could go to, Madrid for the weekend. Like, you could do a lot of stuff with that money, couldn't you?
Exactly.
Or yeah, or you could go to a festival, as you said. Like, there are so many things you of like other ways to spend several days of your
Yeah.
life. She's not getting that money or her time back. And I saw in the news the other day that people that have been to Butlins got their data stolen. So she might even have like some loon might have stolen. Imagine getting fucked twice. You got fucked by going to Butlins and then someone's stolen your data.
Yeah. Well, what are they going to get off Lauren? That she really likes Fry and Laurie. They're gonna give her loads of adverts about bloody.
They'll give her like David Walliams and merch and shit like that. Please buy David Walliams' new film. No one else, or new book. No one else will.
Have you got another feature for us? I enjoyed that. Well, the back end of that. The first bit wasn't that good, but you pulled
No.
it back with the Lauren story.
I just thought the Harold thing was a bit odd. That's why I wanted to bring it up. Not that funny, just a bit odd.
Yeah.
It happened, and I was a bit concerned by it.
Fair play. I think I would be.
I've got a letter for you.
Oh, yes. For me specifically, or us?
I mean, it's addressed to Nabil, but when you hear it, I think it's addressed to you.
Oh, hello.
Dear Nabil, serious start. No loving the show, just straight in.
Yeah,
It's
that's fair.
Lee's former Sainsbury's colleague, Heather.
Oh, yeah.
You might remember that I had plastic surgery to make my face a bit more like Lee's, to be one of those faces that people kind of know, so that when they see you, they go, "Do I know you from somewhere?" You know, a familiar face.
Yeah.
I remember that. I remember that well.
I can't stop thinking about that.
It went badly, as you remember, and I've been ostracized from society. Oh no. Sainsbury's fired me.
Oh no.
I dropped too many alcoholic beverages when shelf stacking, and I look weird.
Well, she dropped quite a lot while she was doing it anyway.
Yeah, I think that's how it got too much for Sainsbury's.
Right.
I now live in the basement of the Sainsbury's store that I worked at. What I didn't realise is that for many years, while dropping alcoholic beverages, the liquid was pouring through the floor. I went down into the basement and I found tortoises that have been consuming this alcohol, and they've, what's the word here? They've evolved.
I don't know, I thought it was an email, wasn't
Fuck off.
it?
They've evolved, anyway, Lee. So
Yeah.
these tortoises have been drinking the booze that she's been dropping, and they've evolved.
Right.
They now stand on their hind legs. They're a bit like Ninja Turtles, except instead of doing ninja stuff, they just steal nectar points. Their plan is to steal enough nectar points so they can do a hostile takeover of Sainsbury's. I am now their
Oh.
leader. This is our plan. I'm worried now. I like Sainsbury's. What if Heather and the alcoholic turtles are stealing it?
Yeah, I know. Well, let's see where it goes.
Our plan is going quite well so far. We have 1,000 points at the moment, enough to get us a 20% discount on a holiday to Magaluf. They're doing well then.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Let's see if the plan goes well. Fuck you, Lee. Thank you, Heather.
I hope all the best for her. So is Heather going to be like Megan Fox in the last Ninja Turtles movie?
Yeah, except she's got a deformed face. So she's either the fox, or she's like, oh, she's either Megan Fox, or she's like the rat. What was the rat called? The leader?
Oh, I forgot. But yeah, anyway, I know what you mean.
Yeah, I think she's kind of a cross between the two. She's fucking shit up, but yeah, that's her plan. How
Lovely.
would you feel if she Splinter the rat? How would you feel if she took over Sainsbury's? I reckon it'd be carnage across the country. Her new rule would probably be, instead of stacking alcohol, you just smash it on the floor.
Yeah, that's
You'd
how you
walk
buy
into
it.
yeah, you'd walk into a Sainsbury's and it would all be stirred together, just glass and like a lake, a glassy lake of booze.
Yeah, no, I think it's going to be carnage. It's going to cause a national depression.
Yeah, not like a economic depression, just a like we'll all be sad that Sainsbury's isn't the institution we grew up and loved.
Pretty much.
It won't be like the German depression.
Oh no, nowhere near that.
I mean, I don't.
Unless
We might not turn to fascism.
she could end up being Prime Minister after this. Because after
Prime
she takes over
Prime Minister Heather with her weird plastic surgery face.
Yeah, well, after she takes over Sainsbury, she'll be a successful businesswoman. America's
Oof.
gone for a successful businessman.
Oh yeah, and it's 2018, so the glass
Yeah,
ceiling is ready to be
exactly.
broken. She's
So it
breaking
can
glass.
be.
She's not just breaking glass bottles, she's breaking glass ceilings as well.
Well, yeah, what I'm saying is that she's not only. We're not only being fascist and a backwards takeover, it would be ticking PC boxes as well because she's a
Oh,
female.
yeah. I mean, Heather's thought of it all, really.
She really
Except
has.
how to efficiently t stag, but she's thought of it all.
Ah, beautiful, beautiful. I enjoyed that. I'm glad that she's
I've
got a
missed
plan with
Heather.
her life and it's moving along.
Yeah. I've got another feature for later, but we'll do one of yours now.
Well, I've literally got the Edinburgh review, so should we do a couple of days worth and then go into your feature and then
That
do a
sounds like
couple
a
more?
good idea.
Okay.
Lee's Edinburgh Diary.
Hello, hello, hello. So, got there.
Is that you start a diary? Hello, hello, hello.
Yeah,
Do you have like a. Are you one of
like a
those people that records their
1930s
diaries?
policeman.
Oh, hello, hello,
Hello, hello, hello.
hello. Do you like a BBC record, like an old BBC announcer? It is Hyde Park Corner, and this is Lee's diary for the day.
You are listening to this on the. Oh shit, what date is it?
This is the
on
BBC.
the on the 20 on Saturday the 25th of August 2018.
On the long wave service, broadcasting along the home service.
Now, are you sitting comfortably? I will begin.
Yes, and
So, anyway, day one, we got there. Lovely flat. Lovely flat. That's what I need to say first. Lovely flat.
I feel like you're prefacing, like, why are you saying that so much? You've said that three times. Is there something that wasn't good about it?
No, lovely flat, mate. Lovely flat.
But I feel like there's like a at but.
No, there's no yes and here.
No, but I feel there's a but because you're saying the way you're saying that's a bit weird.
Oh, sorry, I'll say. It was a lovely flat.
There we go. That's a bit more. That was a bit more normal. That was a bit more like, I believe you now.
Good. So we got there, had a few pints.
What was the weather like? What were the smells? What were the sounds you were hearing?
Hockey! Oh my! How are you? No, that's Geordie, isn't it?
That's Jimmy Cranky. That's Vera. Oh,
No.
suffered a murder.
Oh, I'll tell you something. I've got fucking nappy rash again. Anyway, sorry. It was decent weather, a bit cloudy, but quite warm. Not really sunny, but like city warm. You know, you live in the big smoke now. You know what it's like.
I do. What was the sound you were hearing? Oh, I've done. We've done that. What was the smell? Sorry.
Smell. Haggis and Iron Brew.
Love it. Anyway, continue.
So yeah, we was probably about 20 minutes walk from the centre of town, our location,
That's a
and
good.
then
That's a good walking distance.
yes, and then the first show that we went to was Card Donnelling.
Oh, very good. He came into my work a few weeks ago. He
Yes.
was nice.
I've seen him several times, listened to his podcast, I'd say every other week, at least once a month.
That's a consistent amount, Lee.
Exactly. Well, there's one pretty much every week, but I tend to pick on guests I like.
Don't we all?
Yeah. It's not one that I listen to. It's not like Adam Buxton where I listen to every episode no matter what. It's
Same.
that I'll just pick the ones I like, because I know it will be quality content. And there's a lot of content out there I've got to consume. Do you know what I mean?
Oh yeah, it's like having you can't have a three course meal every day.
Exactly.
Three times a
Which
day. You gotta have a mild, a light breakfast, light lunch, and a big dinner is what I'm
Yeah,
feeling.
exactly. Well, if you had three courses for every meal every day, you'd turn into a big fat fucking bastard, wouldn't you?
You'd turn into a fat hobbit. You'd turn into Alan Brazil.
You would turn into Alan Brazil. Called on, saw his first show first. It was a decent show.
He said
show,
it was. He said he was going for the laughs this time. He wasn't trying to do a big message.
Yeah.
Did you get that message?
Well, I've seen him a few times, not a tour show, but only in clubs, and it was at part of the Free Fringe, and there wasn't really a story. He was just telling little bits, what he was just telling a club, really. And
yeah.
It wasn't amazing.
Didn't work for an hour? Too long?
No, an hour was all right, but it should have been, because it was like quite early, it was like 6 o'clock, there wasn't people really drunk, and in a club he would have done fine when people were tipsy with it all, do you know what I mean?
But I do, Lee.
It wasn't an Edinburgh Fringe show.
So how many Lees are you giving it?
Two. Only two.
Two Lees out of five, I assume?
Yeah, it was still a good time, and I'm glad I went, but it wouldn't be the best.
So Carl Donnelly, two Lees out of five Lees. Thank you.
It's all right. Have you written that down? Yeah.
I have two Carl Donnelly, two Lees out. Yep.
Okay.
Next one. What did you see after that?
John Hastings, the big Canadian man. Very very small room. It was like about 40 people room, I'd say. Maybe a bit less than that. It was packed and very sweaty, but it was a proper Edinburgh show, finally. It was in Pleasance Courtyard, which is a cool place. It's just like a big courtyard with loads of venues in it, and they've got loads of pop-up bars in there. And that is where you do most of your celebrity spotting, because everyone goes there. More of that later. I'm giving him 4 stars. He was very good. I had a nice through story about getting run over, and then he went into several little rants. He did, because the room was so hot and sweaty, picked a fan up and held it at half the crowd for about 10 minutes of the whole set.
That's funny.
So he was even caring. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that does sound good.
Exactly. And that was lovely, and I had a nice time. Because that it was our first night, and that was about, we finished that about 9:30-ish. We only went to see one more show that day, and we went to watch Setlist.
Yeah, good.
You know Setlist, don't you?
It sounds familiar. Who's on that?
It's just a thing that happened. It's Setlist where they, it's called Setlist Stand Up Without a Net. So there's a Sky series of it.
Yeah, now I remember it, yeah.
Yes, so it's just, they basically have stand-ups have a phrase behind them, and then they have to make up bits on the spot. That was alright. I'm not going to rate that, because it's different people every day and everything, so I just thought I'd tell you that. It's just something nice, isn't it?
It is nice, isn't it?
Yes, yeah. Stu Goldsmith from Comedian's Comedian was the first one I went to see. Lovely show, lovely man. One of the few people... one of the few men I think I fancy. So
interesting.
That's something to bear in mind.
Mine's Prince Harry, so we're both there.
Yeah. Except for mine's actually good looking and nice.
Okay.
What was I going to say about it? He was just talking about, because he had a baby like 2 years ago. His show is mainly about that. Lovely, just a lovely way to spend an hour. It's part of the Free Fringe. It was in the biggest room for the Free Fringe. 250. Oh. Gasps. This is showbiz. But no, it was lovely. I had a great time. I haven't really got loads to say. I can't really remember too much of his show either. But then I went to see Sean McLaughlin, who is definitely one of the shows of the full Fringe. Definitely in my top five out of everything I saw.
That's interesting. How many Lees would you give him?
4.5.
Ooh, so not the perfect five, but close.
Yeah, exactly. You can't get much better than this. There's a little bit of room for improvement, because I don't think you should start so high, because then if you start high, there's nowhere to go after that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
Yes, he had some. What was his show? His show was just sort of about robots taking it, like the future and how the internet's taking over and stuff. But he was saying how it's in fact maybe I said this subconsciously earlier. How backwards and the future we are at the same time, because he was just like he gave some examples. The two main ways of listening to music now is streaming over Spotify and listening to vinyl. And then he said he walked past a oh no, that's giving away the punchline, but he said he said he walked past a shop the other day, and on the outside it said no blacks, no Irish or dogs, and that was an Apple shop. And they did little jokes like that, which was lovely. Yeah, no, he's very good. I think he's going to be one of the future big stars of stand-up.
Yeah, I think he's so he's very, very on the verge of mainstream. So yeah, close. Yeah,
exactly. I think he might be on the Apollo next year. Yeah. He supported Ricky Gervais on his last tour.
Yeah, I know he did, yeah. Which is why yes. I think he's very close to doing it.
Very close indeed. Yes. Anyway, then we had a massive gap, went and had some food, had a few pints. I drank a lot of Tennent's. I didn't realise Tennent's was Scottish, but pretty much every pub has Tennent's, and I really like Tennent's now.
That's your takeaway. Tennent's is your new thing.
Tennent's and Iron Brew.
Interesting. Do you like Iron Brew?
Yeah, I love Iron Brew anyway.
I fucking hate it.
Oh, interesting. Why do you hate it?
Just don't like the flavour. Really don't like it.
Oh, that's something interesting. Anyway,
I don't. Yeah,
I'll move on because we've got a lot to get through. I should have just picked highlights, but yeah. I've committed. I went to watch Bugle Live podcast.
Yeah, who was the guest?
The guests were Alex Alderman, Catherine Ryan's boyf, and
I
American.
Know that. Yeah.
He's a lovely guy.
He's Canadian, isn't he?
I thought he was American. It makes more sense if he's Canadian.
Former writer on that Stephen Fry and Joel McHale show.
Was he?
Yeah, what was that show called?
I can't remember.
Great Outdoors.
Yeah. It wasn't very good, though, so I didn't watch it. Well, no. I heard it wasn't very good, so I didn't watch it. What was I saying? Oh, yeah. His show got nominated for the Perrier Award the other day.
Oh, that's cool.
Nothing I saw got announced, got announced for it. But about three of them, I saw do small sets. So there was him, like as part of evening things. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, I do know exactly what you mean.
Yes. I'm not going to rate that because it was Bugle. It's good, innit? It's just a podcast, really. So it's not a show. So it's unfair to rate it. But I had a good time. Alice Fraser was the other guest as well. Yes, very good. I had a lovely time while watching that. And then finally, Klaxon, please.
Drop a bomb on this baby. Window Shatter. That's a Charlie Sloth one, isn't it?
I don't know, mate. I'm not as ghetto as you. Are you enjoying the new Radio 1 changes?
Yeah, I haven't had much of a chance to listen to Greg this week, because obviously I've been working on a different breakfast show. A rival breakfast. No, it's not rival. But a breakfast show. So I've been up at the same time as him. That's cool, isn't it? No, not really.
That's an interesting thought. You're up at the same time as Greg James.
And Chris Moyles and anyone who does a breakfast show in the country, yeah.
Yeah, it's an interesting thought, isn't it?
I don't know how people do it for so long. Like, fucking hell, yeah. How has Chris Evans done it for so long? How's Chris Moyles done it for so long? Like,
they're all steaming alcoholics, mate.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's how they do it. They just get pissed all the time.
Yeah, exactly. You don't drink, so you're suffering a lot. Anyway, I'm about to move on to...
What was the Klaxon for? Go on.
The first 5-star review of The Fringe.
No, not 5-star. A 5-leave review.
Oh, 5-leave. Sorry. 5-leave review. There you go. Well, I shouldn't really do it because it was only a one-off. So, Funds and Games.
Yes.
It's done Fringe for, like, I think 7 years they've done it. And then this year they decided to pack it up and they just did this one-off show. And it's the last ever one.
How did you get tickets? Did you get it months ago, or did you?
No, they just announced it on Twitter, and I just happened to see it.
Oh, lucky you.
Lucky me. Pretty much everyone in
Lucky,
the crowd was
luckily.
stand-ups as well.
Lucky me.
After the show, I did care, luckily. I just chose to ignore it.
Thank you. Thanks for the constant support.
after the show, I had a piss next to Jim Owen.
I don't know who Jim Owen is. Wait.
You don't know who Jim Owen is?
Mate, I'm so bad at British comedians.
He's Irish, and he's like, he's one of the, like, fucking hell, man.
I'm more of an American comedian guy.
I saw Janine Gruffalo walking through the street.
Oh, that is cool.
I was going to see a show, but I didn't, so
Did you
that's
say that
something
to her?
to learn.
I was going to see your show, but.
Life gets in the way. So Funs and Games, it's just a spoof of a kids show, and every time normally they say bring kids because it doesn't work if you don't, but this time they just said it's 18 plus, and they got smashed, and
Didn't they try and turn Funs and Games into a TV show?
yeah, there was a pilot for it.
Yeah, because they were filming that at Media City. I remember that now.
Yeah, it was all right, the pilot, to be fair. Oops. It's the sort of thing that probably should have got a TV series, but I don't think they treated it because it's meant to be very ramshackle and loose,
Yeah.
and I don't think BBC wanted it to be that.
Loose.
They wanted a bit more structure to it, and it's not. But no, it was brilliant, start to finish. He came out on Phil Ellis, the host. He came out on homemade roller skates, which was a board with wheels on, strapped to his shoe. And he had crutches, and he came from the back of the room wheeling himself down. And he just kept falling over while this song was on, which was great. I'm trying to think. They had a load of prizes, and in the first song, they knocked over a bottle of vodka off the side, so there was smashed glass and vodka all over the stage for the rest of the show. Wow, what happened? It was very good. Wrestler Colt Cabana appeared in it because every year they do a thing at the Fringe where it's a one-off show where it's loads of comedians do wrestling. And they were talking about not having that this year, so this was the next equivalent for a big one-off show. And then they were bitching about wrestling. And then Colt Cabana appeared and said he would fight them, and all the other cast members. Phil sent all the other cast members out, and he. Colt Cabana beat them all up, and then Phil said he was going to come out the crowd, and he ran behind the stage, and then this guy, this comedian, I forgot his name, but he's got cerebral palsy,
Yeah.
and he had a walking frame, and he pretended he was Phil Ellis, and Colt Cabana knocked him to the floor. That was all good. Funs and games. There's loads of silly things. In the middle of it, this black guy stood up and said, he started heckling and was just like, no, this is just racist. It's damn right rude. And then he quoted a few bits of what they'd said. And he was just like, this is out of order. And was just like getting really like PC brigade. And then Phil just said, you know what you've done, haven't you? You've come in at the wrong time. And he said, oh, sorry, what was the line again? And it was really believable that he was offended. And the line was, you can't even put them on jam jars anymore.
Sorry, cut out. What did you say?
The line was, you can't even put them on jam jars anymore.
Oh.
And what else happened? Oh, and then they did a quiz at the end, and friend of the show, my girlfriend, got on
Yeah.
stage. And there was two teams, one with him on, the host, and then one with members randomly selected out the audience, and two of them were chasers from the ITV Chase.
Which ones were they?
Paul Sinner, because obviously he's
Of
got a
course,
Fringe show.
comedian. Yeah.
And then the other one that's all right, the newer one.
Don't think I've not seen it in a while, so I don't know the
The
name.
one, well, she's been on for like 3 years, the young woman.
She's slightly fat with red hair.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I do know.
Yes, and yeah, that was funny. They did. He did lots of jokes about One of the questions was, is it immoral to marry your cousin? Because Mark Labette, the Beast, is married to his cousin.
Oh, really?
Yeah, didn't you know that?
Oh, no, I did know that, actually, yeah. I'm sorry, I forgot about that.
They asked them what Bradley Walsh is really like, and they said, fine when he's sober. And then Paul Simic said he keeps asking him if he's ever done Bollywood. I'm trying to remember what else happened. It ended up with all the cast members beating up Phil Ellis and left him on the floor. There was cream pies involved and water pistols at one point. It was just fun. It was fun. It was a fun show. A lot of good jokes. I had a lovely time.
Great. So that's the end of day three, isn't it?
Two.
Fucking hell. Right. Let's speed it up.
I'm gonna whiz through. We'll do day three, and then we'll do your other feature, and then we'll do the others. Because there's three more, and then on the seventh day, we just went to see one thing before we got the train, so...
Okay, speed it up a bit, and we'll... Yeah, perfect.
There's a few things I can whiz through.
Okay.
Let's day, we saw stand-up Edinburgh legend Simon Munnery, who did a decent show. I'm going to give him 3 stars. It was nothing special. He talked about that he started a job to earn a bit extra money as a cleaner for a chicken factory. And he started a chess club at his kids' school for all the kids. And he kept asking people what they thought the rules were, because he's got several rules. And someone said, keep the blacks and whites separate. To which, obviously, he just went, that's just racist. The main thing about his show, it was called after a joke. So the joke was, I went to a funeral the other day and caught the wreath.
Oh, good.
I thought that was a very good joke. Anyway, but it was all about, he was trying to make a painting of that joke because he couldn't find the best way to use it.
Yeah,
and that was it. And then it turned out that Sean Locke once said it on 8 out of 10 cats, and then he went into a rant about calling Sean Locke a cunt. Well, no, he said that Sean used to know him quite well, and he was always a cunt.
Oh wow!
And then he had to ring him up and then ask him if he'd ever used the joke, and then he found out it was fine because it was just an off the hand comment, apparently. And then there was a little. There was a little bit of banter about pissing blood.
Yeah.
Three stars.
Three leaves. Perfect.
Then I went to watch Beans on Toast, who's a singer-songwriter I've been a fan of for years, and he wasn't very good in a seated venue. 2 stars.
Oh, wow.
And then I went to see another 4.5 show. Now, there's a lot to talk about with this one. Jerry Sadovitz. Are you familiar with Jerry Sadovitz?
I recognise now. I need to Google it so I know the face.
Well, no, you won't. He's an 80s comedian who's tried his whole life to make sure no one... Well, since the rise of the internet, that nothing's on the internet about, like, none of his videos or anything. The only footage you can see is he plays Jimmy Savile in Stuart Lee's comedy vehicle.
That's come up. He does look a bit like Savile, to be fair.
Yeah, but basically, he's just disgusting. It was hate-filled and disgusting right from the off. So he's one of the best close-up magicians in the world. He's like in the top 10 or something like that for close-up card trick magic. And so he started by he had a projector on a table with his magic, with his cards out. He was in a big... like about 300 rooms, so it was a big room, and he was doing tricks, and then he was telling a story about this Irish bloke he met in a pub, and he was showing him this trick, and he was showing the trick like this bloke was doing, and then the Irish guy pulled out 5 aces, and then he just out of nowhere he just went, what the fuck are you doing, you IRA KGB And then he just listed everything, a massive rant. He was just like, you're black fucking lesbian cunt. And he was just like about 5 minutes of everything he could throw. And then he was into the show. The rest of it was, he did an impression of Robin Williams and wrapped a rope around his neck. He did an impression of the Lost Voice guy without his machine. He described Diane Abbott as she she looks like she jumped out Grenfell Tower swallowing every immigrant jumping out on the way down. There was a lot. He did an impression of the Chuckle Brothers spit roasting a kid. Just everything that's disgusting in the world. He did a long bit about okaying Weinstein and sticking up for Trump, and a lot of stuff was happening. But he was brilliant. Genuinely brilliant. And he was just, the whole time he was just doing mad card tricks while he was just giving these awful rants. He said that Boris Johnson's been stole his material, and then about the post box, and then I can't remember how it went, but he told the joke, but there was a lot more to it.
Okay.
And it was disgusting, but it was
funny but disgusting. Okay.
Yeah, and he kept making jokes the whole way through, saying things like Frankie Boyle's writers are struggling to keep up and stuff like that. But yes, I would advise, if he ever plays nearby, watch him, because it's something. And I think even the most PC person would still, because it's just, he insults absolutely everything and everyone.
Yeah,
it's all right. But yeah, that was good. And then finally on that day, friend of the show, Tim Key.
Hey.
And his show was about dating a woman, and it was very, very good. Five star, I'm saying it here. Five
Lees, bloody hell.
Five Lees for that one. It was very good. Very, very good. Very, very good indeed. It was just about, taking a woman out on a date. He started it by, when it was a massive room, it was like over 1,000, and he was just stood on the stage drinking cans, and while everyone was coming in and just staring them all out or nodding when they looked at him and stuff.
I love that.
It was brilliant. I could have just watched that for an hour.
That actually brings very nicely on. Is that the end of day 3?
Yeah, we'll cut it there,
because that brings me very nice on to my feature.
Go on then.
But when work's a little quiet, so not very often, but occasionally, I get out my little notebook, which actually is the book we got given on graduation.
Oh, lovely. And, have you not filled that yet?
No, I'm writing some poems in it, though, and I've got some. I'll read three to you if you want that.
Yes, go on then.
So this first one's called January. Wet dog hair slipping down the window. Condensation touching the tongue. Muddy boots crunching on the pedals. Headlights scanning from left to right. The mist fills the lay-by. The orange streetlights caress the skin. I ask myself, who goes dogging in January?
That was good. I enjoyed that.
It's a little double meaning, because they could just be going on a dog walk. It's nice. Yeah. Next one, skills. Jesus was a carpenter. Hitler was a painter. Benedict is a podcaster. What's worse, using Jesus and Hitler together, talking about myself in the third person, or thinking podcasting as a skill?
Very good, very good.
And finally, kangaroo. Kangaroo, caress me. Caress my bruised ego. Stroke my damaged skin. Tickle my arms, make me giggle, and punch away my demons.
I don't know how I feel about that one. Well, make me feel a bit sad.
Little common theme, my fragile ego.
Yeah, very much so. Just
thank
don't
you,
have
Lee.
An ego, mate. It's easier.
Oh, I'm very egotistical.
Well, that's how I go about life, just not having an ego.
I'll take that advice, thanks, Lee.
It's all right, mate. I'm going to whiz through a few of these shows. I think I went into a bit too much detail on a few with very little payoff. Then I saw start day four off Lou Sanders, long-time favourite of mine. Love her
same.
Very much. Yeah, she did a decent show. I'd say 3.5, if I'm honest, but it was good. It was good.
Okay.
Maybe 3.75.
Oh, a new rating.
Yeah.
Silver, bronze premium.
Yeah. No, it was good. Yes. There was a reviewer in the crowd and she threatened to bite his face. That was good. If she didn't get 5 stars. Then I saw Paul Merton's improv group. Which was just lovely, just a nice bit of improv. Do you know what I mean? I've given that 3.5. I had a nice time. A couple of them used to be in Whose Line Is It Anyway, and it was just a nice little thing for me.
Nice, I like that.
Then we went to Dark Room. Do you know? Have you heard of Dark Room?
No.
It's a thing that's run by a guy called he's Australian. Called John Robertson, and it's where it's a video game in a dark room with the whole audience, and he's sort of the host of it, so it depends what happens in the room to how it goes. And that was very, very good. And he's done the exact thing for years at Edinburgh, and it sells out literally every day, and it was very good. I had a lovely time. There was a lot of people who'd seen it a lot who was like chanting every word to like the scripted bits, which was a bit weird.
Oh really? That is, yeah, very odd.
But it was very good, and I had a lovely time. I'm giving that four stars.
4 stars, nice.
There was a little bit, because he comes on with like American football player shoulders, but with spikes on. You'll have probably seen him in like cyberpunk things. And there's a little bit of it where this woman would win a prize of a inflatable whale, and he asked her age. I think she was something like 26. And if the whale didn't get thrown around the room right back to the start again, within 26 seconds, he was going to pop it on his shoulders. I thought that was a nice little bit. Anyway, moving on. Then I went to John Luke Roberts' adaptations, and I'm very upset I didn't see his tour, his actual show. It was just sold out every day. And he was in like a massive room as well, but it was sold out. So I went to this thing called adaptations that he does. He did the other day. He did one where it was the iTunes terms and conditions. And this one was a book I've not heard of, a love book. And he just got he played Cupid, and he was it. So he was in a nappy and had like a fake bow and arrow and love hearts over his nipples. And He was asking people who were single, and people who were single, it was an interesting take on the Cupid character, because everyone who was single, he was going, I hate you, and just shooting arrows at them. And maybe that's what Cupid is, actually. He's not trying to find love for people, he's just shooting them until they do find love. Do you know what I mean? It's an interesting take. And that was really good. He just got loads of comedians to do a different chapter each, their interpretation. Some of them were a bit shit and some of them were brilliant. Someone didn't understand it, so dressed up as Hellboy and acted out Hellboy 2. I can't think. It was a long time ago. I can't think off the top of my head, but it was lovely. I had a lovely time. The first two were lesbian couples, the first two acts. How
interesting.
Modern. there was one where there was this Australian bloke and woman, and they just kept kicking each other in the groins like full pelt. I think it was explaining what love was like, but there was full on kicking each other in the
yeah
vagina
okay.
and penis. And that was something that was hard to watch. And then we're on to day five.
Yeah.
I saw Jesse Cave, you know, from Instagram and Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Her show was all right. It was something a bit different, but I'm only giving it 3 stars. Then I saw Phil Ellis, who was the host of Funs and Games, do his actual show. He did a few bits from the Funs and Games thing, but you would, wouldn't you? Because if you're not planning anything,
why not? Yeah, do
exactly.
It.
It's all content. But his show was very, very, very good. And it ended by him saying that he was meant to take everyone outside in like a and pretend it's like a big comedy parade, and then pretend to knock into this guy and spill his drink, and then this guy who was an actor, this guy started a fight with him, and they both had a fight, and then that's the end of the show. But he said. Because after a couple of days, because the guy's a really bad actor, he stopped doing it. But he didn't tell the guy he'd stopped. So the guy was stood outside the venue every day and the audience all knew what was going to happen. But they still had the fight. and he took them. So he took everyone out the crowd. There was probably about 100 people. It was as another show was starting. There's people outside the venue and they was showing them in and the fight started right in their queue and they was throwing them about everywhere and the woman who was taking tickets was screaming at everyone in her queue just going, "If you've got tickets, come on!" And they were all stood around trying to watch it because they didn't know what was happening and she was full on, like, that probably happens every day, I realised. And she must be so pissed off. But she was literally livid, and that's what made it.
Oh, absolutely.
And then I'm giving that 5 stars, actually. 5 Lees, because it was that good.
Oh, wow. That is good.
The whole show was good, yes. He had loads of things on the back, just pieces of paper, and he was just asking the crowd what they wanted to see. So he had, like, stories. He had one that was a text from the ex, impressions and characters. Like the text from the ex, he would just read a random text from his ex out. So he'd be like, "Could you go and pick milk up on the way home? 6 kisses." But he did it from different times of his relationships, and like he read out a breakup one and stuff. It was good. And then we saw Louisa Omelan.
Yes.
Which I thought was a bit of a cop out. It was just a bloody dead parent show. How many of them do you see every year?
Oh, mate, you lost someone. Get over it.
Exactly. And she cried a lot, and I thought that was a little bit cheap.
Well, surely stars. She would have to do that 30 times.
She would have to what, sorry?
Do that 30 times.
Yeah.
Right.
But, yeah.
Next one.
Then we went to the thing called Alternative Comedy Memorial. It was just a late night show, and it goes on for 3 hours. We didn't realise that. And it's just loads of alternative comedians, and they just get them to do, like, 10 minutes of just really silly stuff. And the best one, I'll just say the best one out of it, it was this guy who looked like Charles Bronson, who started at the back of the audience with one of those flashing camping lights on his head, and he was in a bright tracksuit, and he was just going, "Ambulance coming through, fucking move, come on!" And he was walking through the audience, just screaming at everyone, like, "Come on, it's a fucking emergency, I'm an ambulance!" And, and then he got on stage, took his jacket off, and then put a penguin knitted jumper on, and started dancing, and he got a big multi-pack of penguins out. And was eating them and then saying the joke from it while dancing, and that was his whole set. And he was
penguin jokes are so, they've got worse, honestly.
Oh, they have. They were vile. But I thought that was a genius idea for a set.
I eat penguins at work, and they definitely got worse.
And that's what I'll say about that. It was all right. And then we saw day six now. Nish Kumar.
Oh, MASH report. The Nish report.
It was a work in progress show, but because it's near the end of the run, it was pretty much done.
Yeah.
And it was a decent show. Decent, lovely show. I had a lovely time, but I'm going to say... I'll go 3¾ again, same as Lou Sanders. It was good.
Interesting.
Yeah, it was good. He was just talking about politics, basically.
Yeah.
Then we saw Henning Vane.
Oh, Henning Vane.
Yes. He did a good show. Lovely. I'll give that 3½. It wasn't quite as good as Nish, but still very good.
Like it.
And then we went to see Trainspotting. But then they cancelled it, so then we booked Phil Nichol at the last minute, and he did, I'd say, a 4-star show. It was just talking about his divorce that happened years ago, but anyway, that was very good. Four leads,
like it.
Then we went to see the Birthday Girls late night comedy Lock-In.
Love the Birthday Girls. How was it? I saw your girlfriend's tweet about it, and that made me laugh.
Yeah, so BT Edmondson, they were doing a bit where instead of vajazzles, they have broccoli hanging from the vaginas. And then BT Edmondson basically gave me a lap dance and bit broccoli.
Were you in the front row or what?
Yeah. And then bit broccoli and spat it in my face. And then, so that was something. but no, it was really good. They were doing shots as we walked in, and they got through 2 bottles of Schnapps. Peach Schnapps before they even started.
Bloody hell.
but it was really good, and they had a few guests on that was lovely, and had a lovely time. That's what I'm saying about that. 4½ I've given that, so one of the higher rated ones.
Like it.
And then finally, day 7, the last show, we went to watch Ostentatious. Have you seen?
Yeah, I've seen a lot about that. Yes. I want to go to it.
It was very good. Highly recommend. Carrie Ad Lloyd wasn't there, but Rachel Paris was. So we had one of the two big stars out of it. And it was lovely. I had a good time again. 4 stars. Lovely end to the to the fringe.
That sounds like a very good week.
Yes, I was drinking a lot of beer in between. I had a lot of food. Saw a lot of celebrities walking around.
Yeah, that does sound good.
Thank you very much. Scene.
So you definitely go back next year?
100%, every year now.
I really want to go. I haven't been since I was 14. And obviously, being 14, you don't properly appreciate it because you can't go to most of it.
Yeah. Yeah. No.
I've really enjoyed it when I did go.
Yeah, we could do a podcast from there or something.
Well, we could do a whole series from there, really.
We could even potentially get guests on, but probably.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, we could.
Well, when you come to London for the Wembley wrestling, I very much plan on recording more than one episode.
Oh, do you?
I do. Do you?
Well, yeah. Why not?
I've been thinking. I know because I got a good camera. We could actually film.
Yeah, could do.
And put it on our YouTube, because we've only put like one thing on our YouTube. Or two things, actually.
Yeah, we'll do that. That sounds good to me.
It's all content, isn't it?
It's all content. We've just got to do the content. And I realised that was a lot longer and a lot boringer than I thought it would be, but it's all content.
It's fine.
So,
what else have you... Is that it for the... I think that's quite a good place to end it.
Yeah, we went on for a very long time. And I'm going to Manchester today.
So, I need to go somewhere now, actually.
Yeah, I'm going to Pride.
Are you? That'd be nice.
No, I'm not, but Pride's happening when I went in Manchester.
Yeah, Lauren said that it was annoying the other week because it got in the way of her trying to get into town, and I went, wow, fuck you. You hate gay rights, don't you?
And then she agreed.
Yeah, she did. speaking a lot about Lauren, actually. I will speak to you soon.
Yes, okay then. Goodbye, everybody. I'm sorry it was a bit longer than we expected, but life happens, doesn't it? Goodbye.
Bye.